You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening. You are listening to Love Sport Radio, and this is the Chelsea Fan Show with me, Matt Beadle, and the boys from the Chelsea Fancast, Stanford Chidge and Clayton Bierman. Not, however, with a certain someone, Mr. Chidge.
Well, indeed. We were hoping to have the absolute Chelsea legend that is Kerry Dixon on the show with us, but sadly, Kerry was unable to make it today. So we brought in a very late... I mean, you know, Chelsea have been very famous this season for bringing in the youth, haven't
the youth,
they, Clayton?
Yeah,
well, don't ever let it be said that the Chelsea Fancast does not sing from the same song sheet, because we have got our youngest ever debut maker on the Chelsea Fancast, which is Clayton's son, Charlie. Hello,
hi.
Charlie. Need to move near to the mic.
Hi.
There you go. So it's lovely to have Charlie on board.
It is lovely to have Charlie on board.
Two Beermans and a Chidge.
Lovely.
Walked into a pub.
And it's funny you mentioned youth, of course. Youngest starting 11 in a League Cup game.
It was, wasn't it?
Since
it was
United
indeed.
In 2012 for Chelsea. Of course, the run of the Lucky Seven came to an end against the Red Devils, fellas. 2-1.
Yeah.
Thoughts on the game?
Well, I thought we were just not at the races in the first half, and it can happen, and it, you know, you've seen it happen before. Well, sure, we'll see it happen again. I thought they were really, really good in the second half. I don't know what Frank said, but they played much, much better. Ultimately, they were... I mean, there are two things. Firstly, I think they were done by two set pieces. I mean, a penalty... I thought it was a penalty.
It was a penalty.
Yeah, you know, and it was soft, but it was a penalty. Mm. An absolutely amazing free kick from Rashford. But the thing I want to fire back at you... So I was having a go at Paddy earlier. Clayton wasn't here then, but... Mm-hmm. I'm surprised by United. I mean, in their own way, I thought they played quite well, but they pack the midfield, they defend for their lives, and they hit you on the break. But it's very like the way Mourinho played. There's no creativity from midfield. How many shots did United have on target?
Three. I haven't got a problem.
I don't. We used to do that brilliantly. I got no problem with that.
They came and did a job.
Yeah, and they did it well.
The reason we didn't play well in the first half was because they didn't let us play well. They were...
I don't think we played well either. We were not pressing as much.
We couldn't do anything because they were pressing us and we weren't finding solutions. And we had a couple of players who had stinkers. And, you know...
But, look... I hear what you say, and of course, you know, it's not always about one side, you know, and every other side has a right to stop the other one playing. But I don't think we were doing what we needed to do well enough. We weren't getting wide enough. We weren't getting behind them. You know, we weren't breaking the lines enough. We had three midfielders. Yeah,
who were all the same.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, when you've got Mount in midfield or Kante in midfield with the remarkably good Jorginho and Kovacic, who are developing into an absolutely superb midfield partnership. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Billy Gilmour is also a midfielder in their mould. He's not going to break the lines and get forward. Frank got him to do that in the second half. But that's what we were missing.
Yeah, we were. But the fact is that Ross is injured. So he couldn't play. He would have played, I think, because he would have been a different midfielder. I think the ironic thing was, I thought we looked quite leggy.
Mm.
And it's a young side. And I think 7 wins in a row. I made the point that the seven wins have masked the fact that this is a transitional season. And we will play like we played on Wednesday in the first half. On more than one occasion, and I wasn't, when, you know, at the end of the day you want to win, but I wasn't crestfallen that we lost, because I think we need a bit more breathing space. I mean, the amount of games we've got between now and Christmas, so I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. And as I said, you know, sometimes we're so myopic about ourselves that we don't look at the opposition, and for all their lack of creativity, it was an away tie. They came and did a job, and they did a job on us, and I really can't. I haven't got any complaints.
Well, I mean, without kind of, you know, stealing Matt's thunder, if you like, I think in a sense it summed United up. When they go and play a side like Chelsea, who will come at them, then they look a better side because they can hit them on the break. But if, I mean, they stuff Norwich, of course, and Norwich will come at you. Mm-hmm. If they play a side that basically defends with 11 men behind the ball, they have trouble because they don't create enough. Yeah. Well, I'm a United fan, I'm delighted that we stuffed Chelsea. I mean, not that you stuffed us, but, you know, a win is a win. Mm-hmm. But I would be worried about that.
I think that, to go back to your earlier question about the lack of creativity in midfield, I think a lot of that boils down to personnel. I think the fact that he's playing, tending to favour the three at the back now, as you'll see, obviously it was Rojo, Lindelof and Maguire who started against you guys. Brandon Williams was on the left as well. So
he's good.
Looks pretty decent. Yeah. But the middle,
especially his sort of WWE smashing Callum Hudson-Odoi to the ground. That was good.
I know, you could hear Gary Neville as well, sort of almost applauding that.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, do I have a big problem with? Perhaps not. I think as a, you know,
if it was the other way around, I'd have been loving it.
Yeah. If you see Hudson-Odoi doing that, you're like, that's what we want to see.
Joey Jones used to do that and put people in the fourth row. We loved it, didn't we?
Absolutely.
But in terms of that midfield creativity, you had your two centre midfielders in Fred and Scott McTominay. Now, Scott McTominay looks like he's starting to become, like you were saying about Jorginho and Kovacic, he looks like he's really starting to become at home in that United midfield now. But he's an industrious player. He might weigh in with the odd goal, but he's not a creative midfielder.
He's an enforcer.
Fred is, you know, getting game time. He's just starting to maybe look a little bit more accomplished in the middle of that midfield, if you could say that. Andres Pereira came on
as
well.
I'm just listening to the scraping of that barrel.
Yeah, well, that's it, though. I mean, that's exactly it.
I don't know what he does.
No,
Stewards inquiry here. Shouldn't we call him Fred? He's not Fred, is he? He's Frej.
But yes, and that's why, if you look at, I mean, Pogba's obviously not there at the moment, and actually, the way that United are playing without Paul Pogba, you're starting to think, crikey, it's looking more increasingly likely that he could be on his way in January. Paddy's in Chidge's ear there, I think. Go on, Pads.
I can't repeat what he said.
Okay. That's our producer, Paddy. But with Jesse Lingard there as well. So in terms of lack of creativity in midfield, it's because United don't have any. Juan Mata, I suppose, you could point to, but it's difficult for him now getting older. He's not playing that role in United's midfield anymore.
I think, you know, to cut a long story short, I think I wonder if you share this frustration. If I was frustrated by anything, it was that it took us so long to figure out how to deal with that. I thought we did deal with it much better in the second half, because we went at United and we did try and break the lines. Gilmour got in a far more advanced positions, and we got down the wings and got behind the defence. And then what really let us down was that inability to put the ball in the back of the net, and that can happen.
Yeah, and actually, I agree with that, and I agree with your... Well, I'll come back to your point about the fact that you were talking about the amount of games that Chelsea are playing as well. I know they're professional footballers, and this is their job, but if you look at since that first win against Grimsby after the Liverpool defeat, it's been Wednesday, yeah. Saturday. Then you had the international break, so they had a rest. Yeah. But then you've got...
Well, they didn't, because half of them were out playing.
Well, of course, yeah. Very, very good point, of course. And then it was Saturday, Wednesday. So it's a lot of football.
We might as well play in the flaming championship, mate.
But yeah, yeah, I mean, what you've got to think is it's not only physical, because they're young kids and physically they're fine. It's mentally, because this is a big thing. And
absolutely right.
When all said and done, you sort of step back on Wednesday. Billy Gilmore, Mark Gurhey. Thank you, Charles. And Reece James. All of them look great. They didn't look out of place. And that's another three below the level of the young players that are coming in. And it's only, you know, it's only good. And if this is a transitional season, which I think it is, what a squad we're building. What an absolutely fantastic squad.
An incredible squad. I think it's something to hugely be excited about. I know Frank Lampard came out as well and did say, you know, I thought we were the better team and you can't legislate for conceding with two set pieces. But I know we say it week in, week out really on this show, but hugely exciting. The names that you just mentioned there to now be in the squad. And when we used to watch these League Cup games of old, going back to, you know, the late 90s when these players used to come in, like, was the lad Crittenden? Was that one of the players?
Oh, yeah, God.
Crittenden coming in.
God, blimey, all that's a name.
I don't know what I thought of that.
It's like somebody walking over your grave, though. Shiver.
What about Robert Wollaston?
Robert Wollaston, goodness
that's
me.
That's another one that I can think about.
Do you remember Roger, was it Freestone Fire? Oh, Cundy always used to call him 25 Stone.
Roger Freestone.
The goalkeeper.
We got... We sold to Swansea, or bought from Swansea. I can't remember.
He went to Swansea.
He was in the first team. I reckon if we look that up, he played quite a lot of games. I thought he was not our finest goalkeeper.
No. Well, that's why I ask, because you are goalie 59.
Yeah, no, he was... Yeah. I remember one time sitting, my season ticket in the Lower East Stand, when he sort of laboured after a ball that went into the corner, and I was just thinking, God, I could have saved that. But then again, you know, I could have saved everything.
Indeed.
Around 50 appearances in the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah.
Very good work on the old laptop there.
Yeah, very quick.
I didn't even see it.
You should be doing that.
I call you the Flash.
Youth Flash Opportunity Beedle. Should be looking
should
up.
Should be, yeah, should know it.
Absolutely.
But yes, when you think of those players who used to play in those League Cup games, and you thought, there's not a hope in hell they're going to be anywhere near the first team. But now, you look at these youth teams, and you think they've got a chance.
I mean, you know, on a positive point, you know, we should absolutely sit here and say, didn't Mark Gay look fantastic? Another Chelsea player that's wandered into the side and who looks like he's been playing there for years. I thought he was superb.
He was outstanding, and the reason why you know he was outstanding is because you didn't notice him.
Well, exactly, like a good soundtrack in a movie, mate.
Exactly.
If you notice it, it's wrong.
But I just, I think Billy Gilmore, as you say, in the first half, I think they were all tripping over each other because they basically hadn't all played together. Second half, as you say, more advanced. Great player. Absolute great player. I can see him going out on loan next year. I just can, because you've got Colin Gallagher, who's probably going to come back as well next year.
Looking very good as well.
And there's somebody called Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Well, he's got to come back.
You know, I'm
what a problem.
Well, I'm going to pen something on this if I get a moment tomorrow. But it's just
your quill out.
Yes. Indeed. Get my Caxton printing press out.
Exactly.
But it's just
John Bulldog.
John
Bulldog? They used to have the
John
stamps.
Bulldog.
Yeah, they used to have the little stamps and all the.
Did they?
I think so.
No, maybe. But we seem. I have no idea what he's talking about. We have an abundance of.
Kiddo would have known.
He would have done, but he's considerably older than me. Anyway.
He probably ring in or tweet us.
He's at a dinner at Lord's.
Have a look. It said John Ball Printing says.
Yeah, there you go.
Go on,
Google it.
Youth Opportunity.
We've got an abundance of talent at the moment. And I mean, you know, at the start of the season, you were wondering who was going to play in the side. And now we've got, I think, genuine competition for nearly every place in that team. And that is just way beyond what I even hoped for at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Gents, we've had a very interesting tweet in. He raises a very good point. And Mr. Steve Martin.
Good old Steve.
Says, gents, could we be considered flat track bullies? Liverpool 2 losses, Man United 2 losses, Leicester home draw. Discuss.
Do you want to have a bash at that first?
Yes, I will do. I don't think we're flat track bullies. I think if you look at the games that we've played, the two games against United and two games against Liverpool, I don't think in any of those games we deserve to lose. I mean, obviously we lost, especially the first game. We got absolutely hammered, but you know, we for 60 minutes we played really well. I think that what you're looking at is a team that's evolving and a lack of goal threat in those games more than anything else. I mean, if you think about the Liverpool game, we were Mason Mount's ankle away from getting a point. I mean, the Super Cup, we lost on pens.
And we were the better side.
The two Liverpool defeats are a bit of a joke, you know, really.
I think this is the point, Matt. I mean, the 4-0 from United, I know we played well, but we did get a stuffing there. But I think all the others, that we've played well or we've been the better side. But, I mean, the reality is we need to be winning some of these matches.
No, I think Steve makes a really good point.
Does.
We basically do need that first
We need
scalp.
A scalp, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
We do. How about City after the international break? That'd be nice.
Okay, but, I mean, you could actually say that beating Ajax away from home is a big
scalp.
Well,
that's a very good point, actually. And that was the best performance we put in this season.
Indeed, it was. This is the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. Plenty more coming up.
Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
This is the Chelsea Fan Show on A Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the boys from the Chelsea Fancast. Stanford Chidge, as always, Clayton Bierman. And a new addition for tonight's show, Mr. Charlie. Hello, Charlie.
Hiya.
There he is.
The brains of an otherwise no-brain outfit.
Well, certainly no-brain family.
I must report that it's been riveting stuff here during those ads, because I've been shown by Mr. Bierman the...
Senior.
Sorry, Mr. Bierman Seaman. Mr. Bierman Senior, of course.
It's easy for you to say, Matt.
I was a goalkeeper, so Seaman.
There we go. Okay, yeah. The safest of hands.
Yeah. Let's all do the Seaman. Do you remember doing that?
Yes, I do.
No. He was really good about that, actually.
He was brilliant. It was the last game of the season.
Yeah. I mean, you know, let's have a little divert into talking about goalkeepers, because I know how much you love that. But I think this is the wonderful and rare thing about goalkeepers. They're so close to the either the home or the away fans, depending on what you are. That it's an interesting kind of dynamic, isn't it? And Paul Robinson was pretty good with supporters. He used to get a lot of stick from us.
And rightly so.
Yeah, but he responded to it well.
Why did Paul Robinson get stick?
Spurs goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Any Spurs goalkeeper gets stick.
I've talked to him about it. I met him and talked to him about it, and he said, you know, yeah, you lot used to give me a lot of stick, but you know, he didn't get antsy about it, and you know, and I think that's the kind of the weird relationship fans have with a goalkeeper. It's very different from other players. And, I mean, when we used to do that, we basically stood behind David Seaman one season. It seemed like hours, but it was probably about 3 minutes.
We're
all doing this.
It was the...
Because he'd, like, let the goal in.
It was the last game of the season, and they'd lost the Cup Winners' Cup on the Wednesday.
That's right.
And then they played us on the Sunday. So
it was that game,
if you're David Seaman,
right,
who do you really want to be playing after you've done that? And, basically, he came to, you know, his end... down the Matthew Harding, and
everybody
went,
let's all do the Seaman, let's all do the Seaman.
And he applauded
it. He turned around and he gave it that.
The best thing you can do.
I thought that was brilliant.
So after Naeem, Zaragoza. Yeah. Crikey. Brilliant. Yeah. Probably the worst time you could be playing Chelsea.
He probably saw who was playing on the Sunday and just his head went, oh, no. I suppose Spurs were the only one worse than playing us. Yeah.
But you're right. In terms of that relationship they have, goalkeepers with fans, there is just something special there. And the best thing to do is just get on with them. And 9 times out of 10, it is respectful. And you leave and you clap them and you go, do you know what? For 90 minutes, that was good banter and we move on. Yeah.
Another one on that, but actually a kind of almost like friendly fire, really. Ross Turnbull, when we played Brentford in the Cup down at Griffin Park, we spent hours, again, it was minutes, but it sounded like, okay, Ross Turnbull's won a European Cup. We were doing it ironically, you see, because I mean, like, what part did he play in it?
Yeah.
You know, and he kept on turning around and applauding us. I don't think he realised that we were taking the mick.
And he gave away a ridiculous penalty.
He did, you know
when they talk about goalkeepers going down in instalments. Mm. That was Ross. Bless him.
Well, funny enough,
we signed him off just after we'd beaten Middlesbrough 5-0. So go figure.
Yeah, classic Chelsea. There you go. Anyway, coming
to a certain podcast near you, Ross Turnbull. So keep an eye out at some stage.
Oh really? Talk to him about that. Now you know the inside.
I'm definitely going to bring that up. Absolutely.
He might not realise. It'd be awful.
That's kind of why I want to bring it up.
You're such a mean journalist.
We'll deny
it. Tell him it was Clayton who came up with it.
Yeah, I will do. Moving on to a man who may well win a European Cup at some stage in his career with Chelsea, Michy Batshuayi.
Well, there we go.
What a goal.
What an amazing goal, wasn't it? I jumped out of my seat.
I didn't know
he was capable of that.
It was an extraordinary goal, considering he was having a stinker of an evening.
He was having a Batshuayi.
That's classic Batshuayi, though, isn't it? That's it.
But this is him. The Ajax game misses an easier chance than he scores.
Yeah.
But he keeps coming back and he keeps coming back.
I love that.
I was actually quite disappointed he got taken off on Wednesday because I would have liked to have seen him with a two.
Yeah.
I mean, he was having a stinker because he is not a lone striker.
But that was the embodiment of a lone striker's goal.
I mean, what do we say?
What do we say about people who have to play up front on their own? They have to be able to create something on their own. And he did it with skill and brute force. It was Drogba-esque, mate.
I know.
And the way he held off, like he gave Maguire a shove. Lindelof was tracking
back. Stewards inquiry.
As was Marcos Rojo. Right, Charlie, come on, your thoughts.
Costa scored a really similar goal.
He did,
I think,
didn't he?
Batshuayi got the assist. For that one.
Would you remember who was that against?
Was it West Ham, maybe?
Yeah, was it a last-minute winner?
I think it was.
Vaguely remember that. Yeah, yeah. Well, so it's Costa-esque as well as Drogba-esque.
I think the only disadvantage with him, he seems really selfish on the ball. It's a good thing for a striker, but he doesn't seem to see the run of other players.
He's not very aware, is he?
He's very tunnel vision. Yeah. He sees the post, he wants to score a goal, which sometimes, of course, we know is a good thing for
a
striker.
But I
think his movement's getting better, though. One of the things I noticed, that goal he scored against Ajax, is that I remember when he started playing for Chelsea, he was very static. He's now pulling off defenders, in the box. No sniggering in the ranks. He epitomised that against Ajax, you know, but he stole a couple of yards, and that's what I want to see. I mean, to be fair, I'm biased. I've always loved strikers who have superb movement, and actually, this is appropriate. The best striker I've seen for movement in my life is Gianluca Vialli. He was the master of it. Closely followed up by Hernan Crespo, actually, but Luca was the best. And wasn't it lovely to see the Where the Shed Boys with their thoughts of Vialli?
So thoughts with Gianluca.
Yeah, he's got cancer, I'm sure he's listening. Pancreatic cancer, I think, which is awful.
Has he been ill before?
He's been ill for a while, but I think he's got worse. I think that's why the news is broken. But he's one of my all-time favourite Chelsea players. And he is, as I said, I've never seen a striker with better movement than Luca Vialli. He was just phenomenal. So intelligent.
One of the best strikers in terms of movement was Torres, but unfortunately not when he played for us.
Usually falling on his rear end, mate.
Yeah, no. He was, I mean, listen.
In installments,
I've got a lot of time for him. I really have. I think he tried really hard.
Chelsea love a trier.
Yeah.
I was going to say, trying really hard, though. I mean,
he
just lost his powers. He lost his powers when he got injured in 2010.
He wasn't an X-Men character, you know, mate.
But it was bizarre. Just everything about Fernando Torres losing his ability to play football, which I believe Charlie has a point to make on.
I think half the money we paid for him was for him to stop scoring against us.
Yep. Good point.
Pretty much.
Good point, well made.
He always scored.
What I want to know, Charlie, and I think this all came out in the wash, didn't it? That we bought him when he was clearly injured, and in fact, he was probably never going to be the same player again. I think that's appalling due diligence from the club, if true.
Well, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but there was a very long explanation that came out years afterwards that basically Liverpool...
conned us.
No, they didn't con us. They mugged
us off.
They had to have a certain amount more than what they were going to...
They basically... Yeah. Didn't expect him to go because they knew how badly injured he was. And I think it was a vanity purchase. I think that was a time where we wanted to make a huge statement, and unfortunately we made it in the wrong place. But
you mean when Roman was the head of transfer policy?
I couldn't possibly comment. But the point is that you'll never ever take away the goal he scored in the Nou Camp.
Nope. Or in Amsterdam.
Or in Amsterdam, yeah. and that's 50 million of anybody's
or
money.
Against West Ham, his first goal.
And got the corner that
with the help of a sudden pitch.
But yeah, but Matt, here's the thing.
Go on.
I mean, I've seen a lot of Chelsea goals in my lifetime, but I've seen few that have been celebrated as wildly as that one was.
Because we were desperate for him to be the Fernando Torres that played for Liverpool. And
that's one of the toughest things, I think, as fans, when you just want a player to, you want them to produce, you want them to be so good, and it's just quite upsetting. Yeah. When they're trying, and like you said, we love a trier, but that he just never really produced the form.
But there's something quite weirdly, deeply nostalgic about Chelsea fans loving triers more than in a sense that they love players with natural ability.
But do you not?
Because we've had so many players who had no natural ability but really tried.
Yeah, and to me, as a football fan, that's all I want.
Yeah, definitely.
As long as I don't see anything left out there. I mean, the football player or players who get it in the neck are the ones that the fans perceive aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing and aren't trying. Now, 9 times out of 10, we don't know. We can only see from the stands, and they might be trying and they might not be able to do it. But as long as you can see somebody's been running around and trying as hard as they can, it's the ones that shrug, that hide. They're the ones that get it in the neck.
And that's what we love about Batshuayi, frankly. I think he's popular down at the bridge because he doesn't give up. And I mean, I think it's, you know, it must have been quite soul-destroying for him at the beginning of the season to realise very quickly how good Tammy Abraham was and to see him go off to such a great start. But number one, he's kept plugging away and he's scored. I think that's the first time he's scored in 3 consecutive games for about, I don't know, 2 years or so. And he's delivering. He is delivering. And we need 2 good strikers.
But he must be encouraged by the fact that I suspect that he started as the season as number 3 striker. He's now number 2 striker.
Absolutely right.
But when we go back on the transfer ban and saying, I think the general perception is that we don't actually want to buy anybody because we don't want to break up the spirit of what's going on this season, et cetera, et cetera. But I do actually think we desperately need another striker.
Well, there's a good chance Ollie might go in January anyway.
Really?
Well, I think he might. Yeah. If he's not getting any
game time, isn't it? He's not getting any lack of game time for Ollie Giroud.
That would be such a risk. All your hamstring away from being left with either, you know, I mean, if Tammy does a hamstring, and he has been injured over the last couple of years,
then
what we got? We just got the Batman, and that'll be it if you let Giroud go. Because for all the talent that we've got in our youth, there isn't anybody, I think, that sort of an out and out forward who's waiting in the wings to come in.
No, I agree, and that's a really interesting point. Actually, we've got depth. Go on, Charlie.
I think there is someone on loan, Ogbu.
Yeah, he's good, but I'm not quite sure how good he is.
Could maybe get recalled or something.
Maybe.
Don't know.
Could do, I think, potentially a risk at this stage, though, I think, for him to come into that starting lineup.
I like Ollie's experience, and I think whatever he does in the dressing room is probably worth its weight in gold. They would be foolish to let him go in January, but, I mean, what do you do? You know, he's 32. He needs to play games.
He does, but very useful for Europe, and we know that obviously top scorer in the Europa League last season as well, wasn't he? Just lastly, gents, before we move on, out of the Carabao Cup now, is this potentially a blessing in disguise? We've got the FA Cup, we've got the Champions League, we've got hopes of a top 4 finish now. So to be out of the Carabao Cup, not the worst thing in the world.
No, not really. I mean, I hate losing. I particularly hate losing to your mob. But the bottom line is that we're still in the Champions League, and it looks like we will be in it after Christmas. I think the only downside, really, apart from I hate losing, is the fact that it might mean less game time for the likes of Gay and a few of the other fringe youngsters, and it would have been really good, you know, Billy Gilmore, etc., to get them more game time. But I think it might help us in the long term in terms of a top four challenge, which I think is definitely on the cards.
Indeed it is. Well, we shall move on next to the game against Watford. Watford, of course, without a win in the Premier League. Never won a game. Chelsea go to Vicarage Road on Saturday. We'll be chatting all about that next.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
This is indeed Love Sport. It is the Chelsea Fan Show with me, Matt Beadle, here with the guys from the Chelsea Fancast, Stamford Chidge, Clayton Bierman, and Clayton Bierman's son, Charlie Bierman. Hello, Charlie.
Hi.
Our youth alumni here today, of course. Softly spoken youth. Don't you just love
makes
the youth
change.
Of today? Sorry?
Makes a change from the usual rabble we have in here.
Of course, if you do want to get in touch with us, it's very easy to do so. 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number as well, or tweet us, if you like, at Love Sport Radio. Now, gents, we are going to move on to tomorrow's game. It is the late kickoff, 5:30 p.m. You travel to Vicarage Road to Watford, who have not won a game all season. Chelsea, of course, conversely, four straight away wins for the first time in Chelsea's history, scoring three or more goals in each.
17 goals in four away games.
Incredible.
It is, isn't it? But I'm kind of not surprised. I think that we are, you know, we are very much set up for that in the way that Frank sets us up and the way that we like to play, because, you know, the home teams will usually come at us, and I think that gives us a bit more space. I think what we have done this season, weirdly, is struggle more at home, where a lot of the weaker teams will just basically, you know, try and get away with a draw or not getting beaten, you know, and it's been hard for us to figure out how to break them down. And I think that's kind of symptomatic of a slightly younger side, because I think it's a bit of a misnomer to say, oh, I think this is kind of weird myth and perception about Chelsea that it's basically a team full of 15-year-olds. It's not, no offence, Charlie. It's not, you know, there are some youngsters in there, but there are a lot of very serious, you know, senior
very
experienced
healthy
players
blend of youth
there,
and experience.
Know. So there you go.
Yeah, no, I think it's... It is, the team is emerging, but I think a lot of the sort of harder to break down teams would be less hard to break down if you had a battering ram like Ruben Loftus-Cheek running at them, which is what we haven't got.
Yeah, although we have a Christian Pulisic to run at them and scare the hell out of them like we did at Burnley last week, and he was absolutely the difference last week.
Oh, completely. But there's a sort of a gain line, isn't there? If you're in midfield and they're banked up, etc., I think even Burnley didn't try and defend. I think they came at us, and they made mistakes which we exploited, or Pulisic exploited brilliantly, and it was just, I mean, it was fabulous. It was absolutely fabulous to watch. But I think, I mean, Watford have last two or three games they've kept clean sheets, and I think they've really tightened up. I think that they will certainly, they won't be coming at us. I think they'll be it would definitely be proper Chelsea to lose to Watford tomorrow, because it's what we do and it's what we've done throughout our history. I'll never forget the we came back from the San Siro having secured a draw at AC Milan.
Not when Dennis Wise scored a goal.
When Dennis Wise scored a goal and we came back
with
and
10 minutes
and
to
we
go
played Watford
in the San Siro
On the Saturday and lost.
I know, that's classic Chelsea, isn't it? You say that though, Clayton.
I did say that.
Well, you did in fact say that. But what I would say is that whilst Watford have, you know, tightened up at the back, number one, they just don't seem to do well against decent teams. I mean, there we go. Proof of brief needed. They drew against Arsenal, but they lost 8-0 to City. They drew against Tottenham. So there we go. Another team that no good. All the good teams they lose to. So I feel quite confident going into this game. Plus the fact, and here's the killer, they got so much trouble up front. Welbeck's out. Troy Deeney's out. They're having to use Delafeo as a kind of an augmented number nine. An auxiliary number nine, they're finding it really tough to score. And the fact of the matter is that Chelsea will probably score.
I think so, without a shadow of a
doubt. You know, Watford are going to have to score if they're going to beat Chelsea. And I can't see how they are, apart from with a set piece, obviously, before you say so.
I don't think you've got any problems tomorrow. No, they've drawn, I think. They're unbeaten in three, aren't they? So they drew against Spurs, they drew against Sheffield United, which was goalless, and they drew against Bournemouth, of course, which was goalless as well. They obviously went out to Everton in the Carabao Cup in the week. So, yeah, I don't know. I can't see Chelsea having too many problems. You mentioned Pulisic as well. Surely he's going to start again.
He's going to be on fire after last week.
Was it the youngest player to score a hat-trick for Chelsea?
Well, I don't see why not. I mean,
I think you batter his confidence.
If he's fit and he's not tired, you start him because his confidence must be sky high.
Instead of Callum, who didn't have a particularly good game on Wednesday.
I think we missed Willian on Wednesday hugely. And I think poor old Willian gets such stick. And I think he's such an important player for the side.
I think he does get stick. But I'm beginning to see a real mood change from the fans because I think...
Don't tell me they're fickle, Clayton. Who knew?
Who knew? I just perceive that fans are now seeing his worth. And maybe he was not hiding behind, but maybe he basically...
I've always loved him.
I know you have, and you've said
that. Haven't I?
And you made the point that once Hazard went, he would basically step up and into that role.
That's why I like Clayton on the show. I love this man too. Almost as much as I love William.
Yeah, but it's true. And... You watch William play. I think that the one thing, and I've said this over the years, is his inconsistency can drive you bonkers.
Oh, yeah.
But he has been less inconsistent.
He has.
Is that a phrase?
He's been more consistent.
He has been more consistent rather than less inconsistent.
And I think once you almost accept that he is that type of player as well, that's almost what endears him to the fans, I suppose. Of course, nominated for the Player of the Month award, William.
Has he really? I didn't know that.
Bizarrely, so now we obviously have so many different... entities of Player of the Month. It's ridiculous. So we have Willian, who has been nominated for the Premier League Player of the Month award. Christian Pulisic, on the other hand, has been nominated for the PFA Player of the Month award. And then you have Frank Lampard, who's been shortlisted for the Premier League Manager of the Month award.
Wow.
Which will go to Jurgen
Klopp. Well, there's Klopp, Potter, Rodgers and Dean Smith. Yeah, so you would imagine...
Klopp and Klopp.
Yeah, you'd probably think so. Do you see him laughing away when his team were conceding goals again? Complete
that
lack of respect
nuts.
For the opposition.
All?
Yeah, bonkers.
What the hell is all that about?
Completely bonkers game. Which, hey, tomorrow night it may well be. Of course, this is the Chelsea Fan Show. On Love Sport, we are going to be speaking to Derek Payne, ex-Watford, next.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
It is time for the opposition view on Love Sport, on the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport, no less. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the guys from the Chelsea Fancast, Stamford Chidge, Clayton Bierman, and Clayton's son, Charlie Bierman. Hello, Charlie.
Hi.
Just going to get you to do a little intro for every little segment that we have. Next up, we have... Derek Payne, ex-Watford midfielder on the line. Watford, of course, without a win this season. Chelsea go to Vicarage Road tomorrow night at 5:30 p.m. Derek, it's great to have you on. What do you make of Watford's chances tomorrow?
Hello, Matt. Thanks for having me on. Well, obviously, everyone will be tipping Chelsea. Chelsea in great form. Watford bottom of the league. So, realistically, you expect Chelsea to win. We just hope, though, there's a bit of motivation there for the Watford players, you know, knowing that outside of that dressing room, I don't think many people are tipping Watford to get the 3 points. So they've got to grab onto any positive things. They're unbeaten in three. Yeah, it's three draws. But they need to have the mentality that they can go into this game tomorrow night and win the game.
Derek, hi, it's Clayton. Nice to talk to you. I'm sort of pretty fascinated because Watford have had the sort of model that we had in terms of manager churn, if I can use that word. Do you think if they would have stuck with the previous manager that they'd be in the position they are now?
Hello, Clayton. Yes, it's a good question. I don't think they would be. I think they would still be in the sort of similar position. Because as you know, as most people know, it takes time to turn things around. And I think Abby Gratzky had done a great job. But it got to the stage where I think there was unrest between the players, I feel. He kind of had his set 14, 15 players. And I think there was causing a bit of disruption in the background. And I think it got to the stage where they decided to make the change. So in answer to your question, I think... You know, it's not going to change quickly. It ain't going to change in 3-4 weeks. This is like they need to start getting results, obviously, quickly. Need to get that first win. But I think it wouldn't have changed much whether Javi Gracia was still here or not. I think this is going to take 2 or 3 months to put right.
Well, I'll give you your first win after this weekend, Derek, if that's all right. But more seriously, mate, I mean, what you know occurs to me is that they've got problems up front with both Welbeck and Troy Deeney out. And we were talking actually before you came on air about the fact they've got the kind of using De La Feo as like a, you know, kind of an auxiliary number nine. I mean, does that worry you about their ability to score goals? I mean, De La Feo is a great player, and I remember when he tore us apart a couple of years ago. But he's not a number nine, is he?
No, that is a little bit of a problem. It's more the physical presence they're missing. Yeah, exactly. So teams know that we've got to try and pass through the pitch. So they press high. If we have to go long, and we haven't got that physical presence there at the moment. So it is a concern, because they ain't scoring goals. But success, Isaac, success is back tomorrow. He's been out injured a while. He's a physical presence. I doubt he'll start, but you've got that option then of maybe having that physical presence that you're talking about. It's definitely a concern, and obviously them two that we, Pereira has been playing up front, De La Feo, they're not recognised strikers.
Good players, but not strikers.
Exactly, good players, but not strikers. And but the way we play, his philosophy is, I think it's going to be interesting tomorrow. His philosophy will be, I feel teams have kind of underestimated Chelsea a little bit because you couldn't go into the transfer market. Teams I'm talking about like Southampton, like Burnley, and probably they probably had a go at you, try to take you on. That won't happen tomorrow. Watford under Flores will be, you know, defensive, trying to stay in the game. And it might just ask a few questions of your younger players. I know they're great players, but that's what you've got to try and do, is get into their minds, mentally get into their minds that they can't break Watford down. So that's what I'm hoping, I'm hanging on to, that Watford can be resilient.
Derek, I think that's an absolutely superb point. We were talking about this a minute ago, and you know, basically Chelsea had a problem on Wednesday because they didn't know really how to break United down, who, you know, were playing with five in midfield and were defending, you know, for a lot of the match and trying to hit us on the break. And I do wonder that. I mean, actually, all the teams that we have played away from home this year have all come at us: Wolves, Norwich, Burnley. And I think if you do that, if you do basically play like the away team, you know, we might find it hard. I think that's actually a really good ruse, Clayton.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think we have struggled to break teams down. Is Trevor Chiloba likely to be playing tomorrow? Because obviously we've got an affection for him.
Yeah, of course, with Chiloba.
Nat. Sorry, it's Nat Chiloba. I'm thinking about his brother's called Trevor. Sorry, yeah. Go on, carry on. Sorry.
Well, I think he will play. I think he will start. Capoue's out injured. Tom Cleverley's out injured, and it's kind of, he's played the last 2 or 3 games he started. Still concerned, he played really well at Tottenham 2 weeks ago. Wasn't so effective in the last game against Bournemouth, but I think he needs that run of games with his injuries he's had. He's had long-term injury. He needs to play. So I would imagine he'll play, and obviously, hopefully with a point to prove, he can put on another good performance, because he played really well against Tottenham away.
No ex-Chelsea player needs any motivation to play well at Tottenham.
It's true enough.
Derek, mate, it's been great having you on. Just before we get your prediction, one very quick question from me. You played for a bit at Flackwell Heath. Did you play there with a Super Simon Garner by any chance?
Super Simon Garner? No, I didn't. I didn't actually, no.
Oh, he must have come slightly earlier in your career then. An ex Blackburn Rovers striker, of course, very, very good goal scorer. Held the record before Alan Shearer broke it.
How
yeah,
about that?
Bit of his time at Flackwell Heath. Anyway, Derek, before you go, a prediction for tomorrow's game.
A prediction. To be honest with you, I have to be realistic. I think probably a narrow 2-1 win for Chelsea. Mm. I think Watford will make it hard for them, though. Mm. But just the form that Chelsea are in, I think Chelsea probably have too much firepower for Watford tomorrow. Mm.
Lovely. Derek, thanks for joining us.
Cheers,
thanks,
mate.
Eric.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi.
That was ex-Watford midfielder Derek Payne there. He seems pretty resigned to the
fact
that it's going to be...
Yeah,
lovely fella.
I liked him.
Yeah, a lovely fella. Derek. Absolutely. Yeah. Good guy, Derek.
And very honest as well, actually.
Well, I think you have to be.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you don't really, do you? But I'm not.
What a great response. You have to be. No, you don't. You don't have to be honest at all. No, shut up, Matt.
Not in this line of work, mate. But no, I think he was, you know, and I really do absolutely agree with his point. It backs up what we were saying earlier, as I said to him, you know, that actually I do think we find it hard to break down some of these stubborn teams who want to pack the defence in the midfield, you know, because in a sense, as I said, you know, you need a bit of nous and experience to figure out how to do that. And I think going back to the United game, it was clearly what happened, I think, between the two halves. Frank and Jody got into them at half-time and said, look, if you want to break them down, this is what you've got to do. Now go out and do it.
But do you not think that that was a lesson learned and they won't be so slow in their build-up?
Oh, I hope so.
They'll try and get the ball forward a lot quicker. And the fact is that Tammy is a better hold-up player than Mitchie, which might also work in our favour.
Yeah, I you know, Tammy's unquestionably a better striker than Batshuayi. I also think, I mean, Tammy hasn't scored for five games. He's not scored since the Southampton game. So he's due a goal, I think. So I'd be very pleased to see him pick up one tomorrow. I mean, I think generally, you know, just looking back across the season so far, one of the things that's impressed me most about this side is how quickly the younger players are learning. I mean, that is a sign of really good players.
And really good coaching.
Well, of course, but, you know, I think you can give credit to the players too, and they are really picking things up quickly and they're learning.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, the record at Vicarage Road is quite interesting since they came back into the Premier League. One lost, one drew. And if you look at the last two seasons, only one man has scored at Vicarage Road for Chelsea.
Eden Hazard,
no longer at the club, of course. So who is going to step up, gents?
Well, Pulisic is clearly, in some respects, I mean, I would hate to heap more hype on him, which I think was
That's easy for you to say.
It was, actually. I practiced
flowed
it before.
Out, mate. That I know, flowed
I know.
Out.
I
heap
practiced
more
it
hype.
I would hate to heap more hype on him. See, it's easy for me to say, not so easy for you to say.
No.
But no, because I think people unfairly did that when he was bought. You know, oh, he's obviously going to be the replacement for Hazard, tee-hee-hee. But, you know, what he did last weekend was fantastic. You know, to score a hat-trick like that, perfect hat-trick, on, you know, your first goals for the club. It took Hazard a season and a half to score a hat-trick for Chelsea. So these things don't happen every week. But I think the thing that impresses me most about him is that he offers us something different, because this is a kid who is prepared to run at a defence straight at them and also have the ability and the confidence to pull the trigger and put the ball on the net. And you've got Willian, who I love, as we know. I've got big Willian love. And be careful how I say that. And, you know, he will always go down the left or the right and he'll do a little trick and he'll beat a couple of players and he always then curves round and either tries to pop a shot off and bend one in or he tries to lay the ball off. Pulisic, he's not interested in that. Mm. He's going straight for goal. And you need that. And Charlie's going to make an even better point.
Yeah, well, I think that is what quite a lot of teams are missing at the moment. They're all trying to pass the ball in the net.
Yes.
Dad gets annoyed about that quite a lot.
So do I.
And Pulisic takes the shot.
Yeah,
so,
just absolutely. Direct, absolutely, Charlie.
Absolutely, mate.
Yeah, you absolutely need that, and positively buzzing to be a Chelsea player, it seems as well. You could tell how much
they
it
all,
meant to
they
him
all
that
are.
First goal.
They all are.
That you read about him has been how resilient he's been.
Yeah,
as a person,
absolutely.
Wherever he's been, and it can't be easy, you know, going from one league to the Bundesliga and then coming to Premier League, and he's been. It looks like he's been managed really well, and he obviously was frustrated at the beginning, but he's put his head down and got on with it.
Yeah. And seems to really get on with Mitchie Batshuayi as well. They seem to have a bit of a bromance going on, which can only be a good thing.
But I mean, think all the players
are
getting
scary,
on,
that little thing they did after the Southampton
I missed that. What was that? What was that? What was
they,
that?
It wasn't quite Dele Alli proportions.
No.
But
I don't want to get into any worryingly...
Handshake.
Yeah, it was very unpleasant.
Don't want any Arsenalisms creeping in or Spursisms. We can't have that. That needs to be drummed right out of them quickly.
Gents, we are sadly near the end, but we were going to have Kerry Dixon on the show evening, so it would be remiss of us not to perhaps mention him. And I know, Clayton, you had a little memory of a Chelsea-Watford game from the past.
Chidge very kindly has set out some results from years gone by, and there was
a famous
goal that he scored. We won 3-1, 16th of March 1985, and it was a near post shot. And I was pretty convinced that there was a mole in the ground because the ball skipped just as the ball went in. And we all thought that a mole had just popped up and backheaded it in. So, Kerry, if you're listening, I need further information on that, please, and whether you gave the Mouldy assist.
Well, there you go.
Richard, you're completely 100% convinced that he will remember this, Kerry Dixon.
Well, every time we've ever had him on the show and we talk about his goals, he does. Canner said it the other week, you know. Kerry, I think he knows every single one of those 193 goals that he scored like his children. You know, it's brilliant. It's amazing to see.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember what I did last week. You know, it's phenomenal.
Gents, we are at the end of the show. A prediction from you both. How do you think it is going to go at Vicarage Road tomorrow evening?
Well, I'm quite confident, actually, which is a very bad sign. But I'm going to go for 3-1, I think. We've got too much for them.
I was going to say exactly the same.
Well, that's all right. It's consistent.
In homage to the Mole.
Yeah.
I was going to go 3-1 as well. Charlie?
I'm thinking clean sheet. 2-0.
Ooh, good. Good stuff. Yeah. Good.
Love that.
Why not?
Brilliant. Gents, it has been nothing but a pleasure, as always. Thank you, Stamford Chidge.
Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you, Clayton.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Charlie. We'll get you back on, no doubt, sometime soon. This has been the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. We'll see you next Friday at 7 p.m.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.